Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Thanks for being here. We wrap up this week of programs talking about fire season, and it just happens that fire season is beginning today. It's underway now, so this works out well. Aaron Whiteley and Rachel Pope from the Douglas Forest Protective Association, thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having us, Kyle.
Thanks.
So, Aaron, your first time in doing this, talk about what your role is as the Central Unit Forest Officer. What does that mean?
Just make one quick correction. Central Unit Forester. Forest officers are fire wardens out there on the ground in the engines. I manage those in the central unit area of our district. We have three districts. So I manage those seasonal employees along with permanent employees throughout the year. Writing grants, we manage the fires, we do the law enforcement, we cover, answering questions for the public. I also do a lot of our fires analysis for fire danger in the wintertime. It's one of my large roles.
So how long have you been with DFPA?
I started with DFPA in 1999. Left a few years here and there as a summertime employee working my way through college, and I also worked for ODF down out of Grants Pass for a few years. I came back here last time in 2012, and I've been here since.
When you started, was it more like a summer job, or were you already interested in this whole arena as a possible career?
No, it was a summer employment, a good way to make money, be out in the woods, and I had a great time in those initial years, and it was, I really found it as a enjoyable job at the time, and decided as I worked my way through college that it would make a great career.
And so you must like being outdoors in general.
Yeah, absolutely.
Are you one of those people that when they tell you you have to stay in the office for the next month, you're not happy?
That is correct. Unfortunately, as a manager, we spend a lot of time in the office, but we do get out and about, and especially this time of year, we're out training our folks. And then, of course, on the fires, I get to go out and either do investigation or be an incident commander or whatever we need at the time.
And I imagine that it's not always all that easy, in spite of what you might see on TV, to determine how fires start, all the time. I mean, some may be fairly obvious, but some may take a lot of work.
Yeah, some are, clearly obvious what the start was, and some take a lot of investigative work. We bring in, on those more complex ones, we'll bring in other law enforcement agencies. We'll bring in other investigators from Oregon Department of Forestry or from our own ranks or from other, from the BLM.
And I understand as well, one of your areas is what's called the National Fire Danger Rating System. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so that's one of the tools we use to, as we're going into fire season, determine when we start, when we change the regulated use levels, the industrial fire precaution levels. And basically, we do an analysis. We take data from a certain period of time. So our current analysis is the last 10 years of weather data. We then take the fires data, so fire occurrence data from the past 10 years, and we run that through a program called Fire Family Plus. That allows us to correlate when we get those fire starts, and then particularly the large fire starts. And then we're able to look at the indices that outputs, so energy release component, which is basically a number that is calculated through that program and model that is the energy that's released at the flaming front of the fire, and it's per square foot, basically. And we reference that number to when large fires occur, and also, when we start to have fires. So we can use that, fuel moistures, one called ignition component, so how likely a fire is to start, how well it's going to spread. And based on all those different factors, we take into account to help us determine when we start fire season. There's some other factors that play in there as well.
So it's not just some random day on the calendar. It's like, well, Monday was summer, so we'll start fire season today.
No, absolutely not. We take into account what all the fuels conditions are. Like I said, this book of the energy release component and those fuels factors. And then we also factor in, have we been getting fires? What's the situation around the region? We discuss it with our agency partners, BLM Forest Service, as well as the neighboring ODF fire districts and Coos Forest Protective.
Now, we had some cooler weather recently, and maybe that's an understatement. People wondered if summer was actually going to get here. Did that kind of delay the start of fire season? I mean, a few weeks ago, it looked like maybe we were close, and then everything kind of changed, and we went back to, like, early spring weather.
Yeah, it was, you know, certainly helpful for us in keeping the fire danger down, and we determined that there was no need to go in. We weren't having the fires. The numbers were showing that, you know, we didn't need to start, and that, you know, those were record-breaking rains for the most part in the area, and that really delayed things. You know, as late as late March, we were concerned we might have to go in sometime in May, and recent history has shown that that's when we've gone into fire season, mid to late May, early June. But with the recent rains, they really kept things tampered down, but, you know, it's starting to change pretty quick, and as those fires we had yesterday, they really, you know, kind of showed that, yeah, we were right on the money of when we need to get into fire season.
So, Rachel, you've been with DFPA for a while, but your background was really different. I'm sure it's been a bit of a education learning all the fire speak things.
Yeah, it's been very educational learning all of the fire terminology, but being hand in hand with our fire team, it's just amazing, and I'm in amazement with how educated and how heroic all of our entire team is. Being a part of this team is very humbling, and I'm happy to be here.
And of course, you know that the rest of the summer may get really interesting.
Yeah, we're prepared. We've had these one-off fires. There's been a total of five before we've officially gone into fire season. That's given me that experience to understand what the processes are, who to contact, to get our PSAs together, and then also working with ODF and the other associations and going through the proper nationally recognized training has really helped me prepare and to be here. And we're ready for fire season.
One of the things about your role, well, really for both of you, is that unlike a lot of things in life, fires don't happen Monday through Friday between 8 and 5.
Yeah, we are first responders, so I am now a first responder ready to go. We have our radios, we have our software, we have text chains that go out, so once you get that notification, you have to be prepared and ready to respond.
I know that dealing with this for, 15 years now, probably, with what we do here when fire season comes along, I'm always amazed. I think the 2 a.m. hour is the earliest I've gotten a text before when, you know, something big was starting. And sometimes, you know, as people are up early, folks walk outside, go, oh, that doesn't look good. And they, you know, they wonder what's going on. And that's one of your roles, is to get all that information out to people.
That's correct. And that's one thing that DFPA is known for, is our initial attack. We work 24 hours a day when it's fire season. We're on call. We have detection cameras that are out there. We have dispatch that's ready to roll. So if we have those smoke signals that are up in the air, we have designated personnel that are on hours and on duty and know that they're on call and respond. And we have somebody out there to check it out. So that's what makes us DFPA, and we're protecting Douglas County.
And those cameras, too, I mean, really, around here, it was a bit groundbreaking when that started. Not a lot of people were doing that yet. Cameras to monitor things are so common now. I mean, they're outside every store. They're everywhere. But back before all the technology evolved, you had people up in little buildings high in places and all of that. Are there any human people out at these sites now?
No, lookouts and manning them with staff is now outdated. And actually, DFPA was the first to initiate our detection cameras in the nation. And we were recognized and received an award for that acclamation, too. So we have, I think it's about, 23 cameras, Aaron?
Yeah, we monitor more than that for neighboring districts, but yeah.
Yeah, so we have a whole detection center. We have those cameras out there, and everything is software. We have our detection individuals that are out there actually monitoring the cameras, and they started this week too. So they're looking for fire smoke and fire columns, and we have a few lookouts that are still erected out there out in the district, but they actually serve as just camera holders and our radio placements too.
All right, Aaron Whiteley, Rachel Pope on Inside Douglas County. More when we come back. The interview, a podcast after one at 541radio.com. 1245 Inside Douglas County, News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson coming at 1. Later, Umpqua Valley Live. I will be live from the Summer Arts Festival out at Umpqua Valley Arts, so check that out. Monday on this program, State Senator Floyd Prezansky will be joining us live for a legislative update. Aaron Whiteley, Rachel Pope from Douglas Forest Protective Association in this afternoon. First day of fire season. We've been talking about the weather and how all this works. I'm curious, Aaron, about our drought situation recently. Did the cooler temperatures and the rain, did that have any impact, or is that just sort of a short-term thing?
So the recent rains and cooler temperatures definitely had an impact. We've seen a lessening of drought throughout the county and throughout the region, you know, southern Oregon area. But that's still, you know, it's a long-term measurement. It's still there. The drought's still lingering in the background there. And we're headed into that, you know, dry season when we see predictions for, you know, below average rainfall. Well, if you've lived around the Roseburg area, Douglas County, we don't get a lot of rainfall in the summertime short of, you know, maybe a few lightning storms that come through with some rain. So, you know, that drought's still going to be there in the background. It takes a long time to, you know, really be fully for that drought relief to come along. So, you know, we continue to monitor that. We're definitely, you know, pleased with the recent rains. It's definitely decreased, you know, where we would be at a fire danger level here going into the season.
I know when I looked at something from the U.S. Drought Monitor the other day, it didn't look a whole lot better for the, you know, Western Oregon than it did a few months ago.
Right. It takes a lot to really relieve that drought, you know, drought level. And, you know, that's done at the national level by the Drought Monitoring Service there.
So to put everything together for the start of fire season, because it was not just DFPA, but the Roseburg District, the BLM, and the Umpqua National Forest, what goes into that between the three agencies and other people as well?
So that's a discussion between the three agencies, generally, you know, the district managers and the fire staff at the Umpqua. And they discuss, you know, where we're at with our fuels, as we talked about previously, and where we're at with season, you know, where we think season's going to go. And, you know, they make a determination together because we want it to be as consistent as possible based on each agency's, you know, individual rules that we have. But we want to be consistent for the public.
Well, and I know that, you know, it's hard enough sometimes, or maybe it feels hard enough to get people to cooperate with everything or understand what's going on. So when the rules are different, you know, you're out in the woods, you don't necessarily even know for a lot of people, what land you're near or on or whatever. So I guess that makes a lot of sense that the consistency is a big deal.
Yeah, absolutely. We want it to be consistent. We want it to be, you know, we try and make it known. Rachel puts out, you know, a lot of information on Facebook. We try to do that jointly with those agencies when we can and have similar rules. We're different agencies. We have different driving rules and directives behind that, but we want to be consistent for everybody.
So it really goes in depth, and we've got a link at 541radio.com to the current rules. A lot of these right now at the front end maybe relate a little bit more to industrial operators, but talk about some of the rules that are now in effect.
So as we go into fire season, you know, that's when we initially, you know, we regulate the debris burning, the campfires, that open burning piece. That's a big, you know, that's the cause of a lot of our fires early on in the season as we get into that, you know, higher fire danger. And then we regulate, you know, fireworks as we get to the fourth. We regulate the use of, you know, sky lanterns, exploding targets, tracer ammo. You know, those are the big ones for us. And really just, you know, as we ease into the season here, we want people conscious of, you know, there is a fire threat at this point, and we want them to be careful.
I imagine, especially with the fourth coming up, that's one that you're really worried about.
Yeah, it's always a concern for us. Fortunately, the folks at Douglas County are very conscious about the use of fireworks. You know, we prohibit them on forest land, you know, outside in our district area, but there are areas within the county that they are allowed. Check locally with your fire department or whoever that might be to use them. But we want everybody to have a good time. We want them to be careful.
So we're at industrial fire precaution level 1 now. Tell us what that means.
So that's for our local industrial operators and other folks doing, you know, commerce out there working with machinery, whatever that might be. You know, that really basically restricts the use of power-driven machinery in an operation as defined in law. But, you know, they'll get their water trucks out there. They'll get their, you know, fire equipment out there. It limits how they can do things to certain hours. Under industrial fire precaution level 1, that really just, you know, has those basics out there. And as the fire season increases, as the potential increases, that's when we increase those levels.
Yeah, and you go up to level 2, and is it what, 4? Is that the top end, Rachel? It's like IFPL 1, 2, 3.
Okay. 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Yeah, so each higher level means more restrictions and all of that, which also means the fire danger level is higher.
That's correct, yeah. Mm-hmm. As we increase those, they aren't lockstep with the regulated use levels for the public, but we do try and we evaluate based on the situation for the public and for industrial operators.
Now, DFPA has talked for years about defensible space, whether people live in rural areas or even folks right in the cities. What about concerns you have, or maybe things people could be doing this time of year to deal with that?
Yeah, this time of year is a great time of year to finish up, cleaning up around your home, cleaning out the gutters, getting rid of the firewood that's right next to the house, looking for any debris that's laying there. Of course, we aren't allowing any more burning, but if you can get that stuff just moved away from the house, have things cleaned up on the outside, that prevents an ember from, if there is a fire close, an ember landing, underneath a deck or on a wood pile or in something that's combustible and igniting in that home ignition area.
And then you get somebody like me who doesn't go up on ladders anymore, and it's like, well, I don't really know. I probably should have somebody check the gutters.
Yeah, it'd be great to have somebody take a look, and as we've gone through kind of a windy period especially, that leaf buildup can get there. And then once the weather really gets hot and dry, like this weekend, it can dry those fuels out. And if you have a fire close, it could have some potential.
So the next few days, we ramp up, especially Saturday, Sunday. We've got the heat advisory. Likely to hit 100 here on Monday or Sunday and upper 90s tomorrow, lower 90s on Monday. How quickly can that dry things out?
It really can dry things out quite quickly. Fortunately, we have, very wet ground moisture right now. So the grass will still be growing, but all that grass around will start to turn under the trees in the shade. It'll take a little slower time to turn. But however, that will shift, from this kind of low moderate situation we're in to a higher situation if that heat continues.
And what about, I'm curious, staffing issues, and just about every company I'm aware of have been an issue since the pandemic. Has it been harder to find summer crews this year?
Yeah, it has been harder to find some folks this year. We do have all of our engines staffed. They'll be out on patrol starting today. You'll see them mostly right now putting up signs, talking to folks that maybe have a burn pile going or something like that we're unaware of the regulations. We'll get those put out around. But, we've got our engines staffed. We're still a few folks short, so we're still looking for a few folks. We can train them using some online materials. And, if people are interested, they could definitely apply at dfpa.net.
And how much training at this point to get in on sort of the ground level does someone need?
Ground levels, about 40 hours of training initially, and then some follow-up training after that.
And then also just the flexibility with your schedule, right?
That's correct. Most of our crews work 11 to 8 during the day, their normal day, and that's 7 days a week, so they have rotating days off.
Just about ready to wrap up Inside Douglas County. Rachel, if people want to check out all the information, talk about your website and more.
Visit our website at www.dfpa.net. You can check us out on Facebook at Douglas Forest Protective Association. We're also on Instagram and Twitter at Douglas FPA.
All right, Rachel Pope and Aaron Whiteley from the Douglas Forest Protective Association, thanks for coming in this afternoon.
Thank you.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.